Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
What price range would you?
You know, I'm going to throw a number out. I would say it's probably anywhere from $30 to $100, depending on the facility and what's involved.
The $30 to $100 price, that's per specimen that we're talking
per
about,
specimen.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
How much of a difference can that actually make if you know what's expected or what we need versus...
It makes a huge difference. I'd say a lot of people want liver.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, most providers will do this case under ultrasound guidance, mm-hmm. so they'll know where they're putting their forceps. The head is basically the biggest part. Most of the other stuff can come out intact.
Right.
It's very rare to have a patient that doesn't have enough dilation to evacuate all the other
To bring the body cavity out
exactly.
intact and all that.
So then you're just kind of cognizant of where you put your grasp first.
That's some audio taken from the very first of what proved to be eventually almost a dozen undercover Planned Parenthood videos. You heard there Planned Parenthood officials discussing the prices of baby body parts, babies that have been aborted by Planned Parenthood facilities, prices for those body parts, pre-ordering those body parts, and modifying their abortion techniques in order to procure those body parts for sale. All three of those things, by the way, are illegal in the United States, and those undercover Planned Parenthood videos showed that Planned Parenthood had been for a while involved in this illegal trafficking of human body parts from aborted babies. David DeLeiden was the one who actually produced these videos. He joins us now. He's founder of the Center for Medical Progress. He developed and executed the center's human capital investigation documenting Planned Parenthood's illegal sale of body parts from aborted fetuses. He was under some legal scrutiny, and all the charges against him have been dropped. David, welcome to Issues Etc.
Great to be here with you, Todd.
After everything that you uncovered and made public about Planned Parenthood and its illegal activities with the sale of human body parts, what was your reaction when you saw Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards at the Democratic National Convention being lauded and applauded?
Well, you know, my reaction is that I wasn't surprised at all, and frankly, none of us and none of your listeners should be surprised, because as most of your listeners are probably aware, Planned Parenthood is a taxpayer-funded, government-sponsored entity. They receive close to 50% of their billion-dollar budget, over $500 million a year from taxpayers, and then they turn around and spend a large chunk of that money on electing pretty much only Democrat politicians, electing people who are going to support them, who are going to protect them, and who are going to give them more taxpayer money. So the taxpayer money goes into Planned Parenthood. They turn around and put it out into elections for completely one-sided partisan purposes. And then, in turn, those bought and paid for politicians for Planned Parenthood make sure that Planned Parenthood is never under any kind of scrutiny, can do whatever they want, operate in flagrantly illegal and barbaric ways, and still make sure that they maintain their millions of dollars of taxpayer funding every year. So it's really an ironclad symbiotic relationship, so nobody should be surprised, and that was the reaction to Cecile Richards' speech.
Tell us about the legal process that you have been through over the course of the last year or so.
Sure. So in the wake of the videos that the Center for Medical Progress released showing Planned Parenthood's senior-level leadership callously discussing and negotiating the harvesting and sale for profit of tiny baby hearts and lungs and brains and livers. In the wake of those undercover videos, several different state investigations cropped up. Several of those investigations are still ongoing. One of those was an inquiry by the local district attorney in Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas is the headquarters of one of the biggest and wealthiest Planned Parenthood affiliates in the country. That's Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast, which has been involved in the harvesting and sale of baby body parts for decades at this point. And it was incredibly surprising in January of this year that the Harris County DA's office ended up issuing charges not against Planned Parenthood. In fact, the grand jury never even voted on charges about it. They ended up issuing these really bogus charges against myself and against one of my fellow investigators. There was a big deal in the news when that first happened. Ultimately, all of those charges were dropped because we found very clear and compelling evidence that there was completely inappropriate collusion between the prosecutors in that office in Houston and the attorneys for Planned Parenthood. Even while Planned Parenthood was supposed to be under investigation, the prosecutors in the Harris County DA's office were basically running interference for them, protecting Planned Parenthood from a real investigation and trying to sabotage the higher-level investigation of the Texas Attorney General's office.
What could have been the penalty had they been able to somehow, you know, push this through? And it sounds like it was, I mean, the word bogus occurs to me. But what could have been the penalties that you and your partner would have faced?
Frankly, there could have been no penalty because the charges that they issued were completely bogus. They don't fit the facts of what we actually did undercover, nor do they fit the law as it's actually written. And that's why two judges dropped those charges completely.
Talk about the investigation at its inception. Did you expect to find what you found about Planned Parenthood trafficking in human body parts?
You know, I never expected that it would go as deep as we found it to go. I never expected to go to the highest levels of Planned Parenthood the way that we found it. When I first started doing this undercover journalism study of Planned Parenthood's participation in the harvesting and sale of aborted baby parts, I thought that we would probably proceed in such a way as to make contact with individual managers at different clinics. Maybe there would be some managers that were a little more seedy or, you know, were involved in this kind of stuff, but that it wouldn't necessarily be representative of Planned Parenthood as a whole. Boy, was I wrong. It turns out that Planned Parenthood's participation in the harvesting and sale of baby body parts goes to the very top of their organization. The vast majority of the undercover conversations, of the serious negotiation, business meeting conversations that we had with Planned Parenthood folks undercover, were with their senior level leadership. We're talking about the senior director of medical services at the national organization, who's basically the top doctor of the entire company. We're talking about the president of their medical directors council, who oversees all of the medical directors of all the different Planned Parenthood branches across the country. We're talking about the director of research for one of the biggest Planned Parenthood affiliates in the country, Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast. We're talking about the vice president of Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains. We're talking about the national director of Planned Parenthood Consortium of Abortion Providers, which is this kind of shadowy council within the national organization that sets abortion policy for all of Planned Parenthood nationwide. So this really goes to the very top of Planned Parenthood's organization, and it permeates the organization on down at every level. And that is why Planned Parenthood is so terrified about more and more details about their participation in harvesting and selling baby parts coming to light and the public becoming aware of that, because it's going to be clear that this kind of that support and even the cover-up of this kind of activity is endemic throughout the entire organization, and that's enough to bring Planned Parenthood down.
One of the things that struck me in watching the videos, and we talked about many of them in the course of their releases here on the program, was the tenor of those who were involved in Planned Parenthood. And what I mean there, David, is it was some of these conversations were extremely casual and in some ways sometimes flippant, given the subject that they were discussing, trafficking in baby body parts. What was your impression during those interviews?
Well, those words were always difficult words to hear. And it was always a really sobering moment to be sharing these intimate moments with these people, right? You know, over lunch and wine at a business lunch meeting or a conversation at a hotel bar sometimes. And the callousness and the jadedness and also the kind of the brutal honesty with which they talked about their work, dismembering the body parts of tiny living children, haggling over the pricing of different body parts, and, you know, contemplating placing orders for different body parts while those kids are still alive. The way that, in reality, the way that fetal tissue harvesting works is you will have researchers placing orders for different body parts while a pregnant woman is still pregnant, walking into a Planned Parenthood clinic and then being targeted for harvesting based on her gestational age and other factors. And so she'll walk in with a living baby moving around, heart beating at 8 o'clock in the morning. And by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, that baby will be parted out and on laboratory desks at five different locations across the country. And it was incredibly disturbing to hear that, you know, other human beings could talk about it so cavalierly and so callously, I think it's a big warning sign about what the institution of legalized abortion and what trying to get a market benefit out of abortion does to our consciences and does to the consciences of people. There was also sort of a redeeming silver lining in it. Many of these doctors, many of these Planned Parenthood representatives were, like I said, brutally honest about what they were doing. And I don't think a single one of them would deny that their work is killing kind people. And that's something that many of them I observe to be very conflicted about. And so I think that's something that's actually very encouraging, to know that there are limits to what the human being is capable of doing comfortably, and there are limits to what your conscience will allow you to accept. And so that's kind of a backdoor way that we might have out of this whole mess.
What did it tell you about the culture within the organization of Planned Parenthood and its customer companies in these illegal dealings? What you talk about kind of the damaged conscience there as an organization, what did it tell you about its culture?
You know, I think it tells you a couple of things. It tells you that there's a view of the human being, first of all, and there's a view of human dignity that's operative within Planned Parenthood, and not exclusively the Planned Parenthood. It's operative in many of the secular progressive elites of our time, of the human being is just a sack of meat, right? There's nothing really special or different about a human being. It's just body parts that you can manipulate, you can buy and sell, that you can use for some advantage whenever it's convenient or whenever it's convenient of that outweighs the inconvenience of something else. It also shows, I think, a really clear profit motive, or it's part of a very clear profit motive at pretty much every level of Planned Parenthood's operations. Planned Parenthood likes to build themselves as a mainstream healthcare provider, reproductive healthcare provider, providing some, you know, vast array of valuable services for poor and needy people. In reality, Planned Parenthood's business model is based around abortion. It's their number one revenue-generating service on the clinic level. And the other services that they do provide are really a very limited kind of boutique suite of sexual health services. They're not really a full-spectrum healthcare provider. They charge up the nose for most of their services. They don't provide free services for people who are unable to pay, unless they just get it subsidized by Medicaid or something like that. So many, many times in the conversations that we had with Planned Parenthood leadership undercover, it was very clear that they had sort of two financial considerations with every new business deal or any new service they were thinking of providing. Number one, they wanted to provide it in a way that would either make Planned Parenthood more money, or number two, provide it in a way that would not cost them any significant costs. And they would frequently cut corners and even resort to things that, you know, that aren't totally above board in order to do so.
David DeLeiden is our guest, founder of the Center for Medical Progress. He produced those undercover Planned Parenthood videos. We're discussing them, the charges that have been brought and dropped against him. And when we come back, we'll talk about whether or not he's frustrated that any federal legislation hasn't become law that would prevent the funding of Planned Parenthood. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Stay tuned. How has pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed?
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Defending Life from Beginning to End. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina, St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota, St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio, First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas, Concordia Lutheran, Sikeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
They're not allowed to say boy and girl, male and female. That's what's coming down the pike at us. You're simply kidding yourself if you think that that's a harmless set of pedagogical norms.
What you need is not a ladder. What you need is a savior. What you need is not works. What you need is grace. You need forgiveness.
I can't remain part of the mainstream Democratic Party when I listen to the cheering of death.
The messengers of the Christian tradition are infected with the disease of secularism. We are propagating secularism from our pulpits, and that's why secularism is on the rise.
In about 15 minutes, we're going to play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. Those four soundbites played in their entirety. Then you vote by giving us a call, sending us an email, sending us a tweet, or going to our Facebook fan page. We'll be playing in about 15 minutes with you, our listeners. In the meantime, we're talking about final charges dropped against the producers of the Undercover Planned Parenthood videos with one of the producers, David DeLeiden, founder of the Center for Medical Progress. David, I'm wondering if you're frustrated that no federal legislation has become law that would prevent the funding of Planned Parenthood.
Well, so after the release of the videos, we did, in a pretty historic moment, for the first time ever, Congress was able to put a bill on the president's desk to completely defund Planned Parenthood and reassign those taxpayer funds to full-spectrum, mainstream, non-abortion healthcare providers like FQHCs and rural health centers. That has never happened before in the entire history of Planned Parenthood's federal funding. It has never happened before that we've been able to actually put the bill on the president's desk in order to defund them. And, of course, President Obama vetoed it. But the only thing now standing in the way of a bill like that passing is the president's signature or veto. So I think that, you know, we both have to be realistic about the space that we're operating in right now. But also I think that is a huge victory that for the first time ever we were able to get that on the president's desk. And the only thing standing in the way of that passing is the president's signature.
Other than the legal campaign that was mounted against you, what kind of reactions were you receiving, are you still receiving, to the release of these undercover videos?
You know, overwhelmingly, the public reaction has been incredibly positive. So many people have written in, have sent in postcards, have sent emails, have made phone calls. So many people have contacted us, have contacted me and the Center for Medical Progress, expressing how thankful they are that somebody was willing to shine a light on these practices and willing to put it out there. A lot of people, of course, you know, are heartbroken, are very, very angry. But a lot of people what I've noticed the most that's been incredibly inspiring to me is people channeling those feelings and that passion into a desire to actually work hard and make something change, both in our culture and in our policies. I think that's maybe the best response that you could hope for from the public. Is people are heartbroken and are outraged as they should be, but they're also very, very motivated and inspired to make something change.
As a Christian, I know you've been asked this question many times, David. As a Christian, how do you reconcile the use of deceit, being less than truthful about your identity and other things during the course of your investigation?
It's a good question. I think that undercover work is actually similar to acting or metaphor or poetry, and that it's a special kind of communication that maybe isn't a sort of literal 1 = 1 or 2 + 2 = 4 kind of truth, but it's a special figurative kind of communication that is meant ultimately to communicate the truth even more powerfully and even more strongly than if you were just giving a literal 1 equals 1 recitation of it.
Why do you think that many pro-choice leaders have expressed an unwillingness to even watch the videos that you produced?
Because there's no defending them once you watch them. There's simply no context in which it's appropriate and no way to defend it as a, you know, as a reasonable flesh and blood person, to talk about crushing below or crushing above on a little baby so that you can get an intact heart or an intact lung or an intact liver for sale. There's no way to defend language like that. There's no way to defend using a less crunchy technique, a less crunchy abortion technique on your patient in order to get higher quality body parts for sale. There's no way that Planned Parenthood can win if they're put in the position of having to defend their affiliate vice presidents or their directors of research talking about getting intact fetal cadavers so they can part them out and every extra part is just another line item on their budget. There's no way to defend statements like that. And so Planned Parenthood has to misdirect. They have to throw up a lot of smoke and mirrors, and they have to basically try and dare the public, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?
David, I'm quoting from a Washington Post story about the dropping of the charges here, and this is a statement from Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast. You mentioned them earlier. They said that just because the charges against you were dropped, it doesn't mean that you were innocent. The president and CEO, Melanie Linton, said that Planned Parenthood has been cleared of any wrongdoing time and time again, that activists like DeLayden spent 3 years creating a fake company, creating fake identities, and lying when they couldn't find any improper or illegal activity. They made it up in order to advance their anti-abortion agenda. The decision to drop the prosecution on a technicality does not negate the fact that the only people who engaged in wrongdoing are the extremists behind this fraud, and the organization claims to have never dealt in fetal tissue. What's your reaction there?
Yeah, they sound a little angry, don't they, that these bogus charges that they colluded and worked so hard with the prosecutor in order to bring, that the judges actually saw what they were and just dropped them completely. The idea that Planned Parenthood, especially Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast, that they have been probed or investigated or cleared in any meaningful sense is completely bogus. We know from the statements of their own lawyer about the matter in Texas that the grand jury never even voted on whether or not to bring charges against Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast. So Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast really has not been cleared of anything and hasn't actually faced the kind of scrutiny that they should. And I think that it's really an indication, you know, if that's how poor and how much of a sham the so-called investigation in Texas really was, then what about the other state-level agency inquiries that have happened that Planned Parenthood points to them and claims that those have cleared them? In reality, it looks like most of these investigations were shams all along that were meant to give Planned Parenthood a good headline. Fortunately, there is one and probably the only investigation that's actually situated to do a really good job and do a really thorough, definitive job right now. That's the investigation by the Select Investigative Panel on Infant Lives of the House of Representatives Energy and Commerce Committee that is ongoing in Congress right now. It's basically a special select committee, similar to the Select Committee on Benghazi and Hillary Clinton's emails and all of that, that was impaneled back in October specifically to do a thorough nationwide investigation of the baby parts trafficking phenomenon at Planned Parenthood and other businesses and other clinics around the country. And what's really unique about that select investigative panel is that because they are on the federal level, we can take a look at the entire nationwide scope of this, which is important because baby parts trafficking is a pretty complex, multi-layered, intrastate, interstate, multi-state activity with transactions that are going from one state to the other, body parts harvested in one clinic by a company that's located in another state, shipped across the country to all different places, even across the world sometimes. So really, the only investigation right now that's really prepared to take a comprehensive look at everything and really make some definitive findings is that select investigative panel in Congress. And their work is ongoing, although they just released a very good interim update just a couple of weeks ago.
What did they say they've found so far?
So far, they've found that Planned Parenthood, some of the biggest Planned Parenthood affiliates in the country, partnered with a for-profit fetal harvesting company called Stem Express, both profited off of the sale of fetal body parts and conspired to do so with companies like Stem Express. They also found, and this is a direct quote, they found, quote, systematic violations of the HIPAA privacy rule in the relationship between Planned Parenthood and that company, Stem Express. The Planned Parenthood clinics, again, some of the biggest Planned Parenthood affiliates in the country, at Planned Parenthood Marmonte over in Northern California, were actually opening up the private patient medical files and the patient medical charts and just giving them and giving access to them to basically contractors off of Craigslist who worked for Stem Express. So the Stem Express harvesting technicians could identify the patients by name, could know exactly how far along in gestation they were, could know any other relevant details about their pregnancy and about their medical history, and use that in order to target them for body parts harvesting. It's an incredible scandal, and it's been almost 2 months since that information was first released by the panel, and Planned Parenthood still has nothing to say about it in public. And I think that's a huge indication of just how damaging those allegations could be for them, and that's why they're trying to not even respond and try and distract the public as long as possible.
David, you're a 27-year-old, very talented young man. You could make a lot more money and certainly have fewer enemies by doing some other kind of work. Why, in the end, did you produce and release these Planned Parenthood undercover videos?
Because it was the right thing to do, and if I was doing any other kind of work, I would be bored out of my mind and feel a little guilty every day, because I would know that there was something far more important that I could be doing with my time. And that's why I'm involved in this work. That's why this is what I've dedicated my life to. That's why this is my mission, because at the end of the day, I know that there is nothing more important that I could be doing right now.
David DeLeiden is founder of the Center for Medical Progress. He developed and executed the center's human capital investigation documenting Planned Parenthood's illegal sale of body parts from aborted fetuses. You can find out more about the Center for Medical Progress at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. David, thank you very much, and my personal thanks for all the work you have done.
Thank you so much, Todd. Good to talk to you.
When we come back on this Friday afternoon, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We're going to play the four soundbites for you, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE to vote. Or you can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address @issuesetc, or facebook.com/issuesetc. I know your brothers and your sister and your mother too.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your confessional Lutheran nonprofit or church need a new website? Let WordSites help you for free. WordSites is a volunteer-led group of technology and marketing gurus who have come together to help their fellow Lutherans. with the support of an effective website, you can clearly proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in. To submit your organization for consideration, or to learn more, visit wordsites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website, reformed.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.